The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and the blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by my Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry and with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. I remember when I was a little young guy, around this time of the year, I would get so excited because all kinds of things were happening just before Christmas. Adults were less fussy. They were nice. There were packages under the tree. There were stuff in the refrigerator. And people were kind of whispering all kinds of stuff. And you got so excited. I did. Anyway, I would think that I was going to explode. I couldn't wait, like, for Christmas to happen. But now these many years have passed, and many Christmases have come and gone. And I say to myself, do I still have the same kind of feeling? Do I still have the same kind of oompa for that? And I would say yes. I would say yes simply because today we have a scriptural referent for us to be happy on this fourth Advent season, this Advent celebration. What we hear today is two women that come to meet each other. Mary comes from Judea, and she comes from Judea, and she does it hastily. She comes to meet her, what we think is her cousin or her aunt. It was a king's woman, so you can have all kinds of combinations. But they were related by blood or they were related by family. So she goes to see her, and there's this just incredible joy that happens in the house. She comes in, and immediately Elizabeth says, "The moment I heard your voice, the baby inside of me leapt." And we would hear words like "wonderful" and "blessed" and "blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And we'd hear all these wonderful kinds of things, and we would get excited. And so in a sense, they were very much excited. But let me remind you that this excitement that they had was in the midst of a very difficult time in their lives. The best estimates that we understand and know of from scholars in the field of New Testament work is that Jesus was born around 4 B.C., That happens to be around the same time that Herod the Great had died. And when Herod the Great died, all the Jews rebelled against the Roman Empire. They started to throw away the tax collectors. They started to really rebel in all kinds of ways. And what the Roman government did is they sent legions from Syria to a place called Sepphoris. Sepphoris is about 4 miles away from Judea. And so when all of this was happening, when this turmoil was happening, people were being subjugated, people were being killed, people were being taken away from their homes, and all their property was being taken back. Mary is able to go to the house of Elizabeth. Now, haste may be part of this question, may be part of this issue, that she's running in haste because she doesn't want to be anywhere near what was going on, all of this turmoil around her. But when she went there was a sense of joy. A joy because these two women, in a wonderful way, and something that we can probably think of in our own lives, they were connecting themselves not only to each other, but they were connecting themselves to something much larger. Their life was now fitted in the themes of God's working in the world. God was now changing the world around him, and he was bringing in a new kingdom. That's why Luke presents all of these big governments and all these great emperors in the beginning, and you have this little child, Jesus. And you have these two women, one who was older, Elizabeth was much older, and then, of course, you had Mary, who was pregnant and not yet wed. And so they were celebrating something that only those two people could feel within themselves, and they were able to connect to something not only between themselves again, but with something larger. They saw God. They believed God. That was God was doing something, that God was changing the world. The order of things was not going to be the same now. And they felt it inside themselves. You know, sometimes I think myself, I often kind of envy the fact that women have babies and men don't. Because it must be a wonderful feeling to feel something growing inside. Well, not all the time, right? Some of you will not rather do it. You know, when I worked in a hospital, you know what we used to do? We used to wear this thing that women, to simulate a woman carrying a baby. And I tell you, my back was killing me. And I only wore it for a couple of hours. But you know, this whole thing of at least feeling life inside of you brought a new sense of perspective, a new reframing that these two women were able to bring to each other and be able to bring to us today as we sit here. And it's because they were in the midst of troubles that it really is a message of joy. Because they were able to celebrate. They were able to celebrate about this new birth and this new hope in God's kingdom. And we too have to remember that these women were able to feel that. And we have to, in our own way, begin to feel it as well, even in our own midst of loneliness, in our own midst of frustration, in our own midst of tiredness. Now, I imagine a lot of you are probably very tired. You've been shopping. You've been buying stuff. You've been probably running around at all kinds of parties and all that. And you're probably tired. And you wonder, what is it all about? What does it mean to me to be able to be with all these people and celebrate and celebrate and celebrate? The thing is to be able to see it as a connection to something larger than who we are. That's when you feel the value of your life in God's presence. Now, we had Mary who gave herself to God, and we have Elizabeth who gave herself to God. And what did God do for these two women? God gave them life. God gave them birth. God gave them hope, because with this child being born inside of them, there's a whole new sense of possibility in the world that they're able to experience and they're able to share and they're able to believe in. I don't know about you, but I'll say it again. When my babies were born, I had two daughters, and when my little one was born, I suddenly felt like I had a whole new life before me. I was able again to see the world from their eyes. Everything was new. Everything was fresh. Everything had potential. Everything was exciting. And so I was able to go to the zoo again. I was able to go to the movies again. I was able to play on the sand. I see some of you guys when you go to the beach with your little grandkids. Yeah, you sit there and you make little sandcastles and you don't care how you look. You know, you might be an executive or you might be retired, whatever. You're just making little sand, and who cares, because you're having fun with that child. That suddenly the world becomes that significant in that smallness and yet that wide in its appeal. And so these two women are able to see that. But there's something else that's happening, and you won't find in the New Testament. This is strictly woolly, okay? And this is that I think Mary, in addition to running with haste to see Elizabeth, she was also very confused. I mean, she was sure about the baby in some sense, but she was also an outcast in her own community. She was not wed. And so people had all kinds of doubts about her. People perhaps were looking at her as though she was strange. We don't get that. We don't get that in the scripture. But we do get it from tradition, that anyone who is pregnant out of wedlock is considered, you know, a sinful person, a sota, they will call, someone who's played outside the marriage, someone who's played the harlot with some other man outside of her marriage vows. And so they were not looked at as well. And so Mary comes, and what happens here, and I think this is what we need to remember in this time of the year, is that Elizabeth was able to confirm her. Elizabeth saw her. Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you, the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you, for you carry the Son of our Lord." She saw something in Mary that she was able to affirm and confirm in her, which is the lesson that I think we need in this Advent season, that only us can confirm each other. Only one person can give the other the affirmation of acceptance and affirmation. To see and to believe in you is to recognize you in your own humanness. To be able to pass the holy manna from human hand to human hand is the only thing we can do. And this is how we lift each other up. And let me tell you a story that is similar to this. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, perhaps you all know it very well, Peter and John, they went to the temple. This is after Jesus had died. Peter and John were going to the temple, and as they were going into the gates, they saw this crippled man who said to them, "Can you give me some money?" And Peter says, "I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I have, I will give you. What I have, I will give you." Now, this is a key here, because what Peter had is something that Mary and Elizabeth had. Many of the prophets had it. Many of the great seers and writers had it. This something that they had that they were able to give is not something you can purchase in a store, not something you can get through Amazon. It's not something that's in a bank account. What you give to another person is the certainty of who you are and the certainty of what you believe and the reality of who you believe in. And so what you have here is Peter saying, I cannot give you gold, I cannot give you silver, but I will give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he says, in the name of Jesus. So he's telling him that this is now his identity. This is who he is. This is the essence of all that he possesses, because now he has found himself. And in finding himself, he can now bless somebody else. So the message tells us and raises the question, are we really worshiping God from where we are? Are we truly in alignment with God the way God wants us to be? Or if not, can we help each other find that sense of grounding, that permanent holy ground that we can stand on, that we know God believes us and affirms us in it? Only another human being can do that for you. Only you can do that for somebody else. How many times have you been with people and you've talked and you've shared and you walk away feeling as though you're two ships in the night? You miss each other. And yet there's sometimes when you talk to somebody and you say, man, that person got me. That person understands me. I feel really alive because of this person's being able to see what I'm doing. That's the greatest gift we can give each other. Not something purchased from Amazon or from Kohl's or from some other store. We waste our time doing that. And I don't condemn that. I mean, I see that. Because the first, again, out of Scripture, we get the tradition of giving. God gives to Mary, Mary gives to us, we give to each other. Right? That's a good way of justifying it, isn't it? For all the bills you're going to get in January, huh? But the idea of giving is more than materials. It's more than things. It's essence. It's connection. It's real living together. It's being able to give a person a sense of it's okay to be who you are. Come out. Be free. Be yourself. Be alive in this presence that God has given us, because this is the message of Jesus coming into the world to tell us we are all loved. We're loved. Think about it. Just really, really let that sink in your head that you are loved. That no matter how many times you've tried, how many times you've failed, God still loves you and believes in you. And as long as you don't believe that, you will never find your true self. But when you find your real self, then you can love. Then you can live. Then you can bless. And then God is working right through you. And this is the message of Advent, that now there's hope in a world that keeps telling you you're not good, you're not better, you need this to be good, you need this to be better. And we're in a world now that the Christian message is really a minority voice. But this minority voice has lasted over 2,000 years and has conquered every nation in the world. This message by two women, now think about it, how ironically interesting it is that God uses these two women, these two ordinary ladies, an older woman, Elizabeth, who never had babies, right? Remember Zachariah, he was praying and he couldn't remember the words because, God told him, you won't speak until you say John. And then you have Mary, this unwed woman from nowhere. And God takes them and God is shifting the world around. God is turning the world upside down. God is rearranging what it means to be human. God is rearranging what it means to be in society and what it means to be in relationship with each other. God is recreating the world on the basis of love and affirmation and joy. We've got to get back to joy. You've got to remember that joy is something that is inherent to your being. It's not something you get from the outside. The circumstances could be lousy, but you can still be joyful, right? A lot of people think because they're sad, they're not joyful. Joyful means you get it. You understand the meaning of your life. You know where you're going. You know how you're grounded. And the gospel gives us that with these two women. You would think it would be like two big guys, right? Emperors and kings in which God will come and change the world. No. Two little women, two simple women. And through the power of these women, the world has now been changed. And the Christ has come among us. So think about it. God comes to us in very strange ways, and he still will do that. God will still be able to change your world and remind you that sometimes the extraordinary is really in the ordinary. That the beauty lies in the moment that we don't see because we've covered our eyes with such busyness. Advent is the moment just before the birth, just before the cry of freedom when the baby finally yells. And we stand here with anticipation, once again, remembering that this was done for all of us, that we are all God's children, that God loves us so much that he's invested his son into our lives so that we can get the message and that we can truly live life again and give it to each other. What you get, pass on. Just like Mary and Elizabeth passed it on, we pass it on to each other. Not a gift, but a real sense of being, a real sense of honor, a real sense of affirmation for who you are, God's children, God's image. Amen.
Amen.